24:25. All right, let's go. Then he said unto them, O fools, slow of heart to believe. Actually, the word there is foolish. Slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken of but Christ. For these things and 20 times is knowing and beginning the most and all the prophets and calling them in all the scriptures, the things concern himself. So let's take some things home. So theology, which is the study of God, is a study in Christ. A study of the Christ fact of the Old Testament, the Christ factor. And that's what we said, it's first the what, then who. The what, the Christ. The who, Jesus the Christ. Historically speaking, he fulfills all that the new covenant is. The new covenant, we're going to get a bit more detailed in it. So what it means that what John sets out to do, we want to take John to get to Paul, but I hope you are seeing it. We're getting to Paul through John, because you wonder we're doing Paul's identification, revelation of identification, and we have used a lot of the Paul line, the John 9 explanation of scripture. As we saw earlier, John is writing, as it were, rewriting Genesis 1:1. He's not rewriting, he's explaining. He says the heaven and earth there is the Logos. And heaven came to the earth when God became a man and Christ became flesh. That's heaven on earth. It's discernible. So the first thing he establishes, and this is vital because we'll approach it tomorrow, he builds the temple truth around Jesus. John says it cannot be the building. It can be the building. That if God has said in Exodus 29:45, I will live in them. And the narrative of the tabernacle is heaven on earth. Earth is about man. God is heaven. God is his spirit. And then he says heaven on earth is God in man. So what's he saying? The first tabernacle, the first covenant in the four gospels is God became a man. Christ Jesus. He builds the law and grace narrative around Jesus. James 1:7, Job 17, grace and truth came by Jesus. The law was given by Moses. John 1:16, of his fullness of all we received. Grace for grace. That's an important phrase. Paul uses it so often, you can't lose it. Grace. Paul isn't coining grace. Paul is writing the Old Testament. Every time he writes grace, that is the Old Testament. Of course, when I say Old Testament, you know I mean the books. He's saying this is the Old Testament. How come? You ask him. He calls it the oikonomia of God given to him. The stewardship. I have to manage the information of the grace of God in the Old Testament. And Paul is beautiful in the way he writes. He says it's Abraham I'm talking about. God chose Abraham. Why? You don't know. You shouldn't know. You shouldn't ask. That's what grace is. He doesn't qualify it. Abraham believes. That in itself explains the Pauline revelation. And John says, that's Jesus. Grace and truth exist by Jesus. Don't forget the word truth. The word truth is going to run through John's entire write-up. He says, Jesus, John 1:18, he's in the bosom of the Father. Don't ever imagine Jesus lying down on the Father. Or Lazarus lying on Abraham's bosom. No, it means they're in the same place. He's there like he's there. He's there like he's there. The corpus. That's what it means. Always follow Bible language. So we have descriptive terms now that you mustn't lose sight of. The old is called the first in Hebrews 8. It's called the first proton because, listen carefully now, that's when Moses symbolizes the tabernacle of God. He builds a building. Moses wants to talk about spirit. He uses water, blood. The first. Writer of Hebrews calls it the proton. Then he says the ditron. The second. Ditros.
The new covenant.
He calls, so we've seen three words used for the new covenant. One is called new, kainos. Then you have the neon, fresh, younger. Then you have unused. So the moment Jesus got to the temple, and he says, destroy this. And in the resurrection, they understood it. That's the new temple. Can we call it the second? Yes. The new temple. Destroyed. After 3 days, it will be raised. That's the John 1:14. He expected you had read John 1:14, the tabernacle. Then, if you read the tabernacle, which is the outer layer of what it is, you read the temple. The temple is where God stays. So he says, this is the temple. Destroy it after 3 days to be raised again. John doesn't think you should read his book from chapter 2. Read it from chapter 1. And he knows that the way you can understand his writings, just like every other synoptic, read the Old Testament. Make sure you know the law and the prophets. When you read the law and the prophets and you take the four gospels, you are rereading them again. Albeit in its fulfillment. Never see it as a storybook. If it's a storybook at all, God's love and promise that he renewed. So when you hear heaven, when you hear the new heaven and earth, a new engagement between heaven and earth, God became flesh. There's a theology that makes us look forward to that city. Oh, a huge city. If we have to look forward to that city, then we are no different from Abraham. How do they now, without us, are made perfect? How do we have better promises? If we are still looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. No writer of Hebrews says we have come there now. Heavenly. Heavenly. If you want to know the heaven I'm talking about, Paul, John, and the writer of Hebrews says, look at the things of that heaven. Is spirit. So, John's use of new, John 13:34, a new commandment. A new commandment. Does it mean this commandment had not been given before? No. Don't forget, Matthew 22:37. It says, what is the great part of the law? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. It says, the second one is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. So, loving others is in the Old Testament. It's there already. But it's new. Why? It's the work of the Spirit. And again, it's unused. So by saying a new commandment I give you, Jesus is not adding to the law and the prophets. He is explaining it. New covenant. New man. The Genesis 1:26 man. The new man. We'll get to that. That's why Paul could say, every dot of the law can be summarized into one word. Love. Galatians 5:14. Same thing. 1 John 2:7 and 8. I'm not giving you a new commandment, an old one I'm giving to you, that you love one another. He's not saying it's an old commandment in that sense. He's saying, look, it's there all the time. It's new, it's old. It's old because it's always in the Old Testament books. It's new because it hasn't been used. It's the work of the Spirit. Now do it. You're a new man. 1 John 3:24. By His Spirit that abides in us. 1 John 3:24. And don't forget, we are not of this world. We are of God. So, if John writes new, let's see how John uses new. 1 John 2:7. I just quoted that. 1 John 2:8. 1 John 2:7. 1 John 2:8. A new commandment I write unto you. She's true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past. Hallelujah. The true light now shines. He's writing again. Genesis 1:2-3. The darkness is past. The light has come. The darkness is the Spirit. I'm sorry. The new light is the Spirit. The light is in the Spirit. Light that shines into darkness. Darkness can comprehend. Second John 5. I wrote a new commandment unto you, not as though I wrote a new commandment, but that which had from the beginning, that we love one another. From the beginning. So let's see all the writings of John. Revelation 2:17. Revelation 2:17. A new name written with no man knoweth saving he that receives it. Revelation 3:12. A new, the name of God, and it says New Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven, from my God. New Jerusalem. Revelation 5:9. New song. Song of the Spirit. Revelation 5:9. Revelation 14:3. New song. Everything that has to do with the Lamb that's slain. This song has not been sung. It's now been sung. What's the song? We are redeemed. We are washed. It wasn't sung before, even though it was promised. Now it's done. It's new. It's not used. Now it is used. Now we're singing it. Revelation 21, verse 1. You must have heard sermons about this. The new heavens and the earth. A new heaven, a first heaven, and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. He's writing temple language. Pay attention. I saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God. Can you see? He is with men. Heaven and earth is the tabernacle. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. This happened when Jesus rose from the dead. To my God and your God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. This is a new creation. He that sat upon the throne, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are faithful and true. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I give unto the thirsty the fountain of the water of life. Freely, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. I'll be his God, he shall be my son. Look at verse 10. He showed me a great city, a holy Jerusalem, descend out of heaven, having the glory of God, and like was as unto a stone most precious. He says, even like a jasper, clear as crystal. Don't get lost in the figures of speech. He's talking about Jesus and the church. So simple, don't miss it. Using Old Testament, as it were, language. This is the work of redemption. This is the new covenant. John 4. Jesus answered that woman, you shall no longer in Jerusalem worship God or in this place. The hour cometh and now is. It will be by the Spirit. And this is the truth. The aletheia, the reality. For God seeketh such, he's looking for, he has found. He is making men do this. He says that to after he mentions giving what? A well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Which means the worshiper and the worship are gifts from God. In Jerusalem, you take things there to give. In this new Jerusalem, God is the one who gives. He gives. This is the new covenant. Call it the second. So that means John is saying there must be a new Exodus, a new Genesis, or a second one. A second Numbers, maybe because of John 3:14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, there must be a second Deuteronomy, new one, love your neighbor, Leviticus, there must be second priesthood, second service, new, done by the Spirit. That's what John is writing. So you always read the two in the books of the Old Testament. How does Jesus communicate? In John 2, it's Acts 2, turn water to wine or give them wine.
She actually doesn't even tell him to turn water to wine. She simply says, they have no wine. That's all she says. Then he says, woman, my hour hasn't come. It's not about forcing him to do a miracle. He's saying, to give wine, I have to die and be raised from the dead. So what does he do? Just like many of his miracles, he takes water and turns it to wine. That's all symbolic. Water, a good number of times, will represent the washing of the temple. He can also be humanity. But the result of it is what? God's Spirit, the new wine. That's what he says in Matthew 26:29. We're going to drink this newly in the kingdom. That's his hour. Amen. His hour. So in John 12:13-18, when he mentions his hour, he's talking about his resurrection. So destroy this temple, he tells them. Just after that conversation, after the new one and the hour, John writes about the destruction of the temple. He goes to the temple, he mentions his father's house. Everybody must have thought, this guy is crazy. Your father's house? How is this your father's house? You're a carpenter. This wasn't built by your dad. But then, John is writing the Gospels from the Old Testament. He now, from the 40 days of the Allos Parakletos, he can now take the things of Christ and show them to us. All that Jesus did in the 3.5 years, John can now explain, since Jesus is the Christ. He simply says, this is his body. That's what he's talking about. My father's house. Pay attention. You can be making merchandise in my father's house. That's both the believer and the guardian of the saints. So, destroyed temple, resurrected temple, all in the plan, his body. So the tabernacle is the body of Christ. The tabernacle is the body of Jesus. The temple is Jesus Christ. He is God. He does not dwell. He is the dwelling. The Spirit doesn't dwell. The Spirit is the dwelling where we dwell. It's safe to say God dwells in us, but it's stronger to say we dwell in Him. So the new man is therefore a renewal of God's promise. The tree of life is brought back in Adam. That is why Jesus is called the second Adam. What is Paul writing from? He's writing from Genesis 1:26-20. That's why he calls him the second Adam. Where do you find Adam? Because the Adam you read in Genesis 1 wasn't the Adam of Genesis 2. That's Jesus, the image of God. Selem, Akon, image of God. He's saying that's the second Adam. That's the last one. The second Adam is where you have dominion, kingdom. Second Adam, dominion. First Adam, a living soul. Second Adam, life-giving spirit. What's the dominion again? Giving life to the dead. Life-giving spirit. That is Genesis 1:26-28. Paul got his second and last Adam from there. Why does he say last? Last and second are one and the same. Last and second simply means this is the final work. Second simply means to restore what was lost. Death brought, sin brought death. And the second Adam is the one that has dominion and will multiply, replenish the earth, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That is the second Adam, or the last one. So John is writing this when he gets to John 8. He says, you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they got angry. We are free, we are born of Abraham. He says, no, if you sin, you are in bondage. What's John writing about? John is taking the words of Jesus again from Exodus. There is an Egypt here, he's telling you guys, you are not free because you are in Egypt. Egypt is the world, there has to be an Exodus. There has to be a redemption. Free, you shall know the truth. Eleutherio, a word Paul will use in Galatians 5:1. Stand in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. They all come together. It's a new Exodus, a new redemption. The promise in Exodus 6:2 down to 3, 4, 5, and 6 is, I will redeem them. I will redeem them. I will sanctify them. Bring them to myself. That happened in the second Exodus. The first Exodus was old, it will pass away. The second Exodus is the new covenant. Does it make sense to you now? There has to be a second Exodus. Don't forget, what comes before the new creation? The new covenant. New covenant leads to new creation. That is perfect Bible theology. You can't know what the new creation is if you don't know the new covenant. So, Moses is writing new covenant, new creation in Genesis 1, 1 to 3. New heavens and the earth. That's what he's saying. The earth is now form and void. That's why there was a need for a new heaven and the earth. Now some folks got it wrong. They thought what it meant was God created heaven and the earth, then the earth became terrible, then God renewed the earth, and then he created the man and the Lord again. They say pre-Adamic. You're getting it confused. Your theology is wrong. Get to John. John says, what you read in Genesis 1:1 is the Logos. Heaven and earth, tabernacle language. If Moses, who gave Exodus, is the one who wrote Genesis, read them together. Tabernacle, heaven and earth. In the beginning was the tabernacle. But because of sin, the earth was without form and void. Not the heaven, the earth. In God's spirit, God's heaven says, light be. Light in darkness. Spiritual realities. Genesis 1:1 is tabernacle. Tabernacle language. New heavens and new earth. The ruach of God. On the face of the deep, panim, the appearance of men. So simple. The waters, later in Genesis 2, he will explain waters as nations of the earth. So Genesis 1:2, the waters and the face of the deep, talks about the entire nation of the earth. No wonder Paul could write, Jesus is not for Israel, he's for every nation. Check Genesis 1:1-3, check Genesis 2. Even you have the Cush River, you have the Pison, all describing the water of Tigris that goes into all the earth. That is the description of the entire earth at that particular time. He's saying to us that every nation had a portion in God's garden. That is why Genesis 1:2, the Holy Spirit was upon the face of all the waters, every nation. He's seeking to dwell in man in every nation. Not in Israel. Israel births, Israel gives a physical body, tabernacle to the Messiah, but the Messiah is for every nation. Very simple. In case you doubt that, read Genesis. If you want to doubt it further on, read who is Abel. If you can't answer, you can answer who is Abel, who is Enoch, who is Noah, then definitely who is Abraham. He was a Gentile. Who is Melchizedek? That's enough evidence that he's not a Jewish savior. It's only a savior who is a Jew. So simple. By Paul. So let's now see. That means that Jesus wasn't accidentally doing things. He entered the temple at the time. Now again, let's see. Where was the wine given? The wine was given at a wedding, a marriage. See, John isn't playing here. He's the only one who wrote this particular miracle. A marriage, that's Genesis 2. John is writing God's union with man as the new wine. John knows what he's writing about. He takes the things of Jesus in the four Gospels and he reveals them to us. He now has the hypomnesco, the remembrance of the Spirit. In the marriage of God and man, there will be wine. It's called new wine, a wine that makes new. John is writing deliberately. He picks another event. Notable events. He's in the temple. They are selling and buying. He drives them out. Then he says, destroy it. After 3 days, I will raise it. Two things. You destroy, I will raise. Again, clarity of God's character and nature. I will raise. John is writing these things deliberately. Look at John 7. It's the Feast of the Tabernacles. Everybody knows what it is. There are washings going on in the temple. Then Jesus at the Feast of the Tabernacles, John knows exactly what he's writing. If any man, he comes and he cries out. He's not whispering, he's shouting. If you thirst, he says, come and drink. This is Isaiah 55 verse 1. Open, anyone. Open declaration. Come and drink. He that believes on me, out, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So, he chose the tabernacle to explain the rivers of living water. Because the tabernacle and the feast of the tabernacle is an old covenant. The rivers of living water is the new covenant. The first is the tabernacle, the feast of tabernacle. The second, there is a second feast of tabernacle. It's not in the future. We're about to see that. It chooses those moments. So we need to reread what Moses read or said. You read it with a blind mind, you see bondage. You read with the eyes of the Spirit of Christ, the Allos Paracletos. He says, when the Spirit is come, he will guide you into all the truth. Which truth? The truth in Moses. The Aletheia. These are the words that I said, Luke 24:44, while I was with you. No wonder Jeremiah could say, a new covenant will I make. And Jeremiah doesn't say, different from the one I made to Abraham. He didn't say that. Or the one I made with Jacob and Isaac. He didn't say that. He didn't even say Adam. He didn't even say, he said, when he took them by the hand of Egypt. There was a Genesis before the Exodus. Very simple. So therefore, it means there has to be a new Sabbath, a new Passover, a new Pentecost, a new Feast of Tabernacles. Don't forget, new refers to what the Spirit does. What's the tabernacle today? What's the Passover? We're about to see. So what is Jesus saying in John 7? He's saying, you want to drink? Come. If you are thirsty. That's Isaiah 55 verse 1. Then he says, for as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. There is no verse. In fact, at some point, I was getting uncomfortable because I once said this years back that this has no verse. There's no verse of scripture. So I saw a translation that seems to, I don't like using terms of reference normally, I don't use commentaries, I try to avoid them. But I saw this one that now pointed to a text. I was very uncomfortable. So I went after the text and I checked the commentary and they said, this is actually not verified. Then I was happy. Then I met a fellow who was on the NKJV translation team, and he said to me the 2000 edition, and he said that, you know, he said every translation that they have studied said they have no clue what verse Jesus was talking about. Just like a few other verses, they have no clue. Jesus has simply lumped two people together, Ezekiel. Ezekiel. He has brought Ezekiel in the picture. Ezekiel talks about washing of water. Ezekiel 36:25 down to 27. You will be washed. Water of cleansing and then the Spirit in you. Also, water in the Old Testament is for judgment. But this is cleansing. Ezekiel follows the pattern. Watch this. Write this down if you can. Ezekiel 34, a new shepherd. Ezekiel 35, a rescue from the enemy. Ezekiel 36, the blessedness, the water, the Spirit, the new Eden. Ezekiel 37, the resurrection, which Paul says, I show you a mystery. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Isaiah quoted in Isaiah 25 verse 8. The Spirit is alive in us today. So he doesn't write the resurrection in Ezekiel 37 before he writes the indwelling in 36. That's Paul's seal of our redemption. 36 before 37. The Spirit will be given is a new heart. He will dwell in us. In 37, He will raise our bodies up. Paul gets it right when he says, we are sealed with that Spirit. We will be raised. The same Spirit will raise us. He raised Jesus from the dead. His first fruits among them. From the dead, 1 Corinthians 15. 23. And He will also raise us. I show you a mystery. When I say I show you a mystery, it's not something that's not written. It's there in the Old Testament. By His Spirit. So, sin, Egypt, Israel, humanity, all out of Eden. Watch this. The new covenant therefore leads to a new creation. That's Paul's theology. Don't forget that. A covenant that renews. So John in his logos, watch how John uses the words wine, water, wind, bread, kingdom, oikia. Oikia is us in Christ. Christ in us. Wind is the Spirit in us. John 3, 7 and 8. Water is the Spirit in us. John 7, 37. John 4, 10. John 4, 14. The bread is the Spirit in us. John 3, John 6, 32, John 6, 47, John 6, 48, John 6, 63. He simply uses the Old Testament narrative to rework what we call a new Exodus, new Leviticus, a new Exodus, new Leviticus, new Numbers, and new Deuteronomy. Genesis 1, 26, 28. Dominion after sin. How is he going to come? The new man, Christ Jesus, in our image, after our likeness. He will multiply. This is the work of the Spirit. Heaven and earth, God in man. So in Ezekiel 43, it talks about God returning. That's Exodus 40 and Isaiah 40. The new creation. All these are spelt out in how John writes. So, now watch this. If anyone should come, anyone, male and female, anyone, come and drink. Come and drink. And see how he interprets this. We'll come to that shortly. So, new simply means what hasn't been used, what hasn't been done by the Spirit. So, Jesus chose the tabernacle to speak about the water of the Spirit. Never forget it. He chose the well of water to speak about the water of the Spirit. He chooses human narratives to explain spiritual realities. Why? That's exactly what Moses called the Old Covenant. So, can we say this quickly, that the Old Covenant was old from its conception? Huh? Come on. And what made it old? The new. Because the new is the Spirit, everything that is done in the flesh is going to be old. It will pass away. So, first Exodus, Israel out of Egypt. Second Exodus will be found us out of the world. And the dominion of darkness. Luke 4:18. Ephesus. Afiemi. Now this is the story now. And we'll come into that shortly. Jesus chose Passover to die. Deliberately. He chose the Passover to die. John is deliberate about how he writes. Others do, but John more. He chose the Passover. We mentioned Ezekiel 36, talking about the water of the Spirit. We're done with that. I said Ezekiel 34, the new shepherd, just going after what I said. Ezekiel 35, a rescue from the enemy. Just read it, you see it. Ezekiel 36, the new heart, the new spirit. You also find the new Eden, or Eden, the blessedness. The resurrection comes after the new spirit. That's how it works. God gives us a spirit. The same spirit raises the mortal body. Jesus said it like that. Paul too did. So the key here is the moment I know what the new covenant is, I will see the new creation. So when you read heaven and earth, that's the tabernacle, temple language. And Moses is very deliberate in Genesis chapter 2, 1 to 3. He says, God rests. Where does God rest? God's rest is in man. Man's rest is in God. It's for man. You know, Moses said, God rested. Jesus said, it's for man. Why then were they observing rest or siesta? It's not their rest. It's God's rest, which is man's rest. God's done, so you are done. God dwells in you, so you dwell in him. It's so simple. So, why did Moses pick the seventh day? He picks the seventh day because of the significance it has in their days and calendar. That's all it is. Nothing about numbers. Just the significance. Heaven and earth. This is the temple. So you read waters in the desert. Simple. Desert, numbers. Water, the spirit. Just easy to see. Zechariah uses the same image. We'll see that later. Rivers in the desert. Malachi says he will come. And John the Baptist came, and then he's in the desert, like Numbers narrative, and he's crying, prepare the way of the Lord. The baptism of the Spirit. He uses water, even though water is not the Spirit, to symbolize Jesus. And what does he do? Very simple. He shows Jesus, he died, he's buried, and he's raised from the dead in the baptism. Everything happens, no coincidentally, it was planned. So, in John 7, when it says, as the scripture has said, Jesus is quoting the whole Bible. There is a new tabernacle. There is a new... So, if you are doing the Feast of Tabernacles, see, this tabernacle is not by washing of water. It is by His Spirit. John 7. And John had prepared your mind before then to know what he's talking about. John 3, 3 to 5. Water that is the Spirit. John 3, 6. Born of the Spirit. John 3, 7. Born of the Spirit. Born again. John 3, 8. Born of the Spirit. John 3, 16. Eternal life. John 4, 10. You have asked of him. He will have given you living water. John 4, 13 and 14. If you drink of his water, you will thirst again. How can you say that? You will thirst again. Exactly. But he that drinks of the water that I give him shall have in him a well springing up unto everlasting life. John 13. He washes their feet. And he says, if I wash you not, hypodegma. John 13. All alluding to the work of the Spirit. So John had prepared your mind on the Spirit. So as soon as we have the Spirit, that's the new covenant. That's the new creation. That's the new man. Definitely the new Feast of Tabernacles. It has to be new. Out of his belly. And John says in verse 39, this speak ye of the Spirit, which they that believe on him shall receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The word not yet given is not in the Greek. It means the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was not yet. What's John saying? John uses the word belly, or Jesus uses the word belly, and John records it. It has to do with a womb, used for newness. Innermost being something, but no, it's more than that. It's actually the word koilos. Because the womb is also innermost. People think he's talking about the heart. No. He's talking about the womb of the new creation. And the womb of the new creation is the resurrection of Jesus. That is where the new creation came from. You cannot have Genesis 1:26 to 28 without Genesis 3:16. The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. That's how it works. So when he bruises the head of the serpent, then you have the man of Genesis 1:26-28, the one that has dominion and will replenish the earth. That's why 1 Corinthians 15:25 to 26, Paul says, now cometh the end, when he will have delivered up the kingdom to the Father. Genesis 1:26-28, male and female. So we have a new tabernacle. Let's keep following. So understanding the spirit is what is key here. Jesus talks about the water in them. John 4:14, John 4:10. And the entire John 16-17. All writing about the new creation of Genesis 1:2-3. And here comes the issue. The spirit was not yet. Simple. Hypogaveneuma. The spirit was not yet. That's a bit strange. Jesus is anointed of the spirit. John 1:33-34. How can you say the spirit was not yet? The spirit here is heaven and earth, God in man. That's when you have the tabernacle. The spirit was not yet. So in John 12:33-35, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all. And this speaks signifying the kind of death he will die. He's not saying my death will draw. It's when I'm lifted up from the earth. That's my resurrection. So the kind of death he will die is that he will be raised from the dead. So when the Word became flesh, heaven came to the earth. And then the glory of the temple, the new temple. Heaven and earth is now together. You can't see Jesus and be asking for heaven except your mind is blurred. He's heaven. This is the heaven on earth. God's tabernacle. Moses tried to put that across to the Gentiles, the Jews, by building a physical building. Then he gave them the pictures of heaven on earth. John 1:4 says, we saw the glory. That's it. This is it. Heaven on earth. So Jesus speaks symbolically when he said, I thirst. He's not asking for coke. He's speaking again about what he's doing. It's before Pilate. And all that. He picks out, John picks out the events. Again, back to John 20. The first day of the week. Watch something at the cross. Like we said, Jesus deliberately chose Passover to die. Because that is how you will understand that he is the Passover. He chose the Passover. And Paul says this is the Passover. Christ Jesus, 1 Corinthians 5:7. He chose the Passover. He doesn't choose it accidentally. He wasn't killed accidentally. He chose the Passover. So in John 18, look at the conversation he has. In 36, Pilate says, in 37, am I a Jew? Thine own nation, thy chief priests, have delivered thee unto me. What have you done? Then he says in 36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, and I would not be delivered to the Jews, and now is my kingdom not from hence. Now, again, transition issues. My kingdom is not of this world, should be my kingdom is not from this world, but actually for this world. God's kingdom is for this world. And thou a king, then Jesus answered, thou sayest I am a king, to this end was I born. For this cause came I to the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hear my voice. He says, what is the truth? And Jesus said nothing again. He said, I have no fault. Then look at 39. For you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. At the Passover. There has to be a release. There has to be a death and a release. Jesus is the Passover. Moses saw this years ahead. Then he instituted a custom. Not because Jesus is trying to do what Moses said. No, Moses is giving an old covenant of a new covenant. It's Moses that gave the old covenant. Jesus' work is a new covenant. The new before the old. So everything here, John records deliberately. In John 19:11, thou would have no power at all against me except be given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee have the greater sin. Then he goes to the cross. Then in verse 26, Jesus saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved. He said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. This is Genesis 3:15. In other words, look at scripture. Then he said to the disciple, behold thy mother. John would have said, how? Do you get it? He's speaking Moses' language. Paul will see this and say, God, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Galatians 4:4. After this, he knows all things are now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So everything is the scripture. Not one verse. Now, are you there? Everything. I thirst. He's speaking for man. I thirst. In 30, it is finished. Not that he is done. No. Everything that's written, I'm doing it. I'm fulfilling everything that was written. I am the reason why it was written. John 19 and verse 30. So in John 20, John is writing deliberately. John 21, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was dark. What kind of imagery is he painting? Unto the sepulchre, seeing the stone taken away from the sepulchre, she runs and cometh to Simon Peter. And so they all went there. They didn't see anything. And then she comes back in 11. Then she sees a gardener in the garden. What's John doing with our minds? He's using Moses' narrative that Jesus is the man in the garden. Moses wrote about a garden because there really was going to be a garden. Everything there has a model. Then he says, Mary, we leave that for tomorrow. Something out there we're going to bring. We're going to explain. First day of the week. Then 19, the same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, a Jew understands the implication. The Passover is done. The Sabbath, it means a new beginning. John conveys to our minds the new creation. The new creation is a product of God's rest and a product of the Passover. Everything is deliberate. Jesus appears to them. He says to them, peace be unto you. He says it how many times? John 20:19, John 20:21, John 20:26. Peace be unto you. Three times. Shalom in the Greek. Shalom in the Hebrew. Elen. Eren in the Greek. It means we are now together. Shalom means nothing missing, nothing broken. We are now together. The work is done. So when Pilate, I've skipped this one. When Pilate in John 19 says, behold, he says, behold the man. John 18. When Pilate says, behold the man. All that is significant. This is the man. The man of the scriptures. Pilate doesn't know what he's saying. But Moses and the writers of the Old Testament have written that earlier on. Let's move on. I'll probably find that later. So, he comes to them and look at the instructive things. John is going to help us understand Paul. Now we have a new heaven and the earth. God in man. And he says to them, I'm going to my Father, your Father, your God and my God. And he says, peace unto you. We are together now. Then in 21, peace unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Very instructive terms. Then they breathe that is emphasis out. He causes their understanding to come alive. Then he says unto them, receive ye the Spirit, the pneuma. That's the new covenant. Then they preach. Whosoever sins you remit are written unto them. Whosoever sins you return are written unto them. That's John 16:8 explained down to 9. And John 16:12, 13, and 14. John is helping us read Paul. Okay, John 19:5, behold the man. John 19:14, behold the king. Mockery, but God chooses the foolishness of this world to confound the wise. They were speaking God's mind in mockery. And that's the wisdom of God. That's the man, our man. That's the king, our king. So in John 19:31, I don't know why I skipped that. In John 19:31, the Jews therefore, because it was preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. And they broke all the legs. When they got to Jesus, they didn't do it because he was dead. All instructive. No deficiencies. Everything has been said before. So let's see this. In John 21 or 20, he says, remit sins, they are. Then he says, whosoever you retain, they are retained. So Jesus rests in the tomb that is not used on the seventh day. He rises on the third day. And then he comes to his disciples on a new beginning. The first day of the week. It's a new creation. All things are passed away, and all things are become new. As my Father sent me, even so send I you. See what God uses to save us. A cross, death, a poor man, a carpenter, a virgin, a lamb. Foolish things. Foolish things. And Jesus becomes the model. God doesn't use tanks. He uses a humble servant. As my Father, receive ye the Spirit. Whosoever sins you retain are retained. What does he say here? Is the exclusion embrace theorem. If you don't want me, you won't get it. If you want me, you will get it. That's all he means. But before now, Jesus had lectured them on love. John 13, John 15, all of that. So he says, righteousness, John 16, because I go to my Father. All those things will come to play in the resurrection. So therefore, there is a new Exodus, so that there is a new beginning, a new Genesis. A new Exodus, a new beginning, a new Feast of Tabernacles, a new Deuteronomy. Now the law is in our hearts. Now we're out of this world. Now we're priests in Christ Jesus. We worship him in spirit and in truth. The washing of water. Now we are the Genesis 1:26 man. We have dominion. Moses wrote the new creation using the old covenant phrases to explain the new covenant. That's what happened. Everything is the work of his Spirit. So we must see the Spirit at work. Jesus' work is the work of the Spirit. So we can quickly just say, what is the Pauline revelation? The Pauline revelation is the Spirit. And the realities in it. Is Paul against your culture? No, he's not. He has the revelation among the Gentiles. He will use the same dirr menu among the Gentiles. Tomorrow, we're going to see how. Because if you are going to explain the new creation, you must explain the new creation around the new tabernacle. Don't forget, in the new tabernacle, God does the building, God does the giving, God does the gift, God does the sacrifice, God does the washing. We are the beneficiaries. That's why Paul will coin the word, which is used in present day Greek entomology, charis. Freely given. He got it from the word charizomai, a word used for what is granted without conditions. And he says, the law of sin and death, which is the old covenant, is man's justification through works. The law of the spirit of life is what man seeks to do for God, God does through man. Simple. And you will interpret the same phrases, sometimes the same verses. You read by the spirit of life in Christ, or you read by the letter that killeth. It depends on how you read. If you read by the spirit of life in Christ, that's by faith. You see what Christ has done by his spirit. If you read by the law of sin and death, you see works. That's how it works. And so John says, this is the new tabernacle, the new temple, the new wine, the new washing, the new worship. All from very foolish things. Cross, lamp. What are you talking about? This is the faith they didn't have. They ought to have been wise. If Moses is not it, he was a great warrior. If Abraham wasn't it, if Joshua wasn't it, they kept pointing to one that will die. That shows you a non-violent kingdom. A victory over death through death. He will die first. By dying, Jesus exonerates God in death. Except, like I said the other day, it was suicide. If it's suicide, it's not sacrifice. If God is the one who kills, he killed Jesus. If he killed Jesus, it was suicide. If it's suicide, it's not sacrifice. If it's sacrifice, it's not sacrifice, it's not love. You can't say, for God so loved the world that he killed himself. He gave his only begotten son. And the way John rewrites Jesus' words, Paul does the same thing. The two things, he gave his only begotten son in Romans 8:32. He gave up his son. They are words used for betrayal. Handing a person over to the enemy. That justifies God immediately. So the new creation must have a new kind of thinking. And it's all by the Spirit. So tomorrow we'll begin to look at Paul. Amen. John should have led us to Paul by now. John has showed us there is a newness. An unused temple, unused tabernacle, unused Passover. Jesus chose Passover. So the lesson is lost. When you read 1 Corinthians 11:25 and you think Jesus is reinforcing the Passover. No, that's the old covenant. He's telling you what the Passover is. The Passover is God for man, as a man, to die, be raised from the dead. And Paul is saying, if you are like Jesus, then your life must be like the Passover. That's the 1 Corinthians 11 story. It's not a reinforcement of communion services. It's to have proper communion with believers by walking in love. That's what he's teaching. If you go and wash yourself with water now, you miss it. Because the water is the Spirit. The bread is the Spirit. The new wine is the Spirit. The moment you believe and receive, then you have that holy communion of God. Where God's Spirit now dwells in you. This is the Pauline revelation. Read in John. Read in Genesis. Read in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. And Deuteronomy. Amen.